Give me Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, please. Colossians 1 and verse 12. Colossians 1 and verse 12. I want to talk to you tonight about X-ing out Christ. It is a plan. It is a scheme. It is a plot. It has been going on since the devil got after man, and he's been wanting to X out Christ ever since. He is actually, sad to say, he's been very successful. He's been very successful all across our world in X-ing out Christ in the things of Christ. Sad to say, he's doing it not only in America, not only in our state, not only in our city. Sad to say, he's doing it in churches. Just X-ing Christ out, X-ing Christ out of our services. And you know, the big thing, he's X-ing Christ out of our lives. We, so many, call themselves Christians, don't even think about Jesus. It is interesting how our Lord had to tell us this do in remembrance of me. He had to tell us, he had to remind us, remember me. He had to tell us, okay, you need to have the Lord's Supper. You need to drink the drink and eat the bread, and you need to do that to remember me, because he knew the devil would do all he could to get you to X Christ out of everything you do. And I want to talk to you about that. Colossians 1 verse 12, the Bible says, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, invisible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Boy, it sure doesn't sound like he ought to be X'd out, does it? And he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church. Well, we certainly can't imagine X-ing out the head. Amen? Doesn't make sense, does it? Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. You ought to circle that in your Bible. He is to have the preeminence. He is to have first place. He is to be the one. He is the head. He is the beginning. He is the Alpha and the Omega. It certainly doesn't seem like he ought to be X'd out. Amen. Father, bless our time now. May it be profitable to us. And I pray your Holy Spirit will guide us into the truth of the Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts 17, verse 3. Real quick, Acts 17 and verse 3. Just a couple of verses I want to give you. Acts 17 and verse 3. I hope you'll write them down. The Bible says, opening, talking about Paul. In fact, verse 2, Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Christ. Christ means the anointed one, the Messiah. He is the one. He is the Messiah. As we talked this morning, he is God. This Christ, this one, the one that had to die, he had to live a perfect life and die on a cross, and he had to rise from the grave. He had to do all that. This is Christ. He's Christ. John 20, verse 31. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. John 20 and verse 31. John 20, 31. The Bible says, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Don't X him out. Amen. Don't X him out. I mean, he is the only way for us to have this eternal life the Bible talks about. He's Christ. Jesus is the Christ. Don't X out Christ. How can we X out Christ? How could we remove Christ? No, Vacation Bible School this year is about the King is coming. But before that, you have to understand, before the King comes to this earth, another King is going to set up his throne here on this earth. He's the Antichrist. He will set up his throne. He will be brought into power by people. That's hard to believe. You know, we used to, it was so hard to imagine that mankind would ever, ever accept an Antichrist. As we studied prophecy in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, and we listened to preaching, and me as a new convert, I remember the first thing that I thought was, how would people ever accept an Antichrist? How would they accept someone who is so awful, someone who is so evil, someone who is so opposite of all that our country, our world, it seems all that mankind has ever stood for? How could mankind ever usher in an Antichrist? Well, it's because over the years, we've been X-ing out the real Christ. Satan has a master plan. Somebody said, you know, there's conspiracies. There's just one. And the devil has a conspiracy that's been going on for many, many, many years. And that is to X out the Lord Jesus Christ. Remove him! Get rid of him! And before the king ever comes, there will be another king, the Antichrist, who will set up his kingdom. Oh, Jesus will come. The Bible says he'll come in the clouds in what we call the rapture of the church, where the Christians go up in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But he won't come back then as king until after the seven-year tribulation, at which point, during that time, the Antichrist is the king. He's the big guy. I mean, he's the big shot. And empowered by Satan himself, here will be a king that should never, ever be king. By the way, don't, you know, you say, well, I just don't think. Have you noticed who we've been electing into office? It's beyond anything we could ever imagine. It's beyond any way we could ever think that Americans would ever elect the kind of people we've been electing. But I'm telling you tonight, folks, it is very, very probable, very, very possible and even probable that Hillary Clinton will be our next president. You say, oh, that's just not... Folks, I'm telling you, the devil's plan has worked. And it's not just working... You know, we watch it happen in other countries, but it's working right here in the United States of America. People are absolutely blind. And we're watching people being willing to usher in an anti-Christ. By the way, when you X out Christ, wouldn't that be anti-Christ? And it would be against Christ, and it would be opposite of Christ, however you want to put it. And so Satan is getting everything in order for these things to take place. And he's been preparing the minds of mankind for many, many years by X-ing Christ out of the world in every area. But my Bible says in Colossians that in all things, doesn't say in some things, says in all things, he, Jesus Christ, might have preeminence. In all things, he is to have the preeminence. First place! That leaves Satan no place. And so Satan has a scheme to X him and all that he does out of the minds, out of our homes, out of our lives. I'm sad to say there are many, many Christians who really don't have much of Christ in their life. Well, you may have him in your heart and you may be saved and praise the Lord for that. But it's sad when you talk to so many Christians today who really don't understand what it is to have Jesus Christ as a part of their day in, day out life. Do you talk to him in the morning? Do you talk to him during the day and throughout the day? Do you pray to him? Do you pray beyond just thanking him for your food every now and then? Do you talk to him about what's going on? Do you talk to him as you drive to work? Do you talk to him in the afternoon? Do you praise him throughout the day? Do you talk to him when the times are tough and rejoice with him as the times aren't? Do you thank him for everything that he does, even if it's something that you don't necessarily like? What kind of relationship do we have? Has he been X'd out? Is TV more important? Are sports more important? Are other things and making money, is that more important? Have we actually been a part of the devil's scheme? We watch Mr. X go through the parking lot and putting things on cars. And we watch Mr. X go through our world. And he X's out this and that. And we say, hey, they can't take that away. And I'm upset and they can't take prayer out of the school. But who took prayer out of your home? Well, they can't take the Bible out of our schools. They can't take the Bible out of our young people. But who removed family devotions from your altar? You have to understand, folks, Satan's scheme is a deep-rooted scheme of X-ing out Christ. Let me just give you some things. I wanted to do this quickly, and I know it's a big night tonight, and we had a lot going on. But number one, Satan wants to X out his coming. He wants to X out the Lord's coming. You know, he tried the first time. Look, if you will, at 1 John 4, verse 3. 1 John 4, verse 3, and that's why we celebrate Christmas here in the month of June, because we want to emphasize he's coming. And one of the greatest proofs that he's coming, are you listening? One of the greatest proofs that he's coming is he came. Just like he said. Prophecy told us he was coming the first time. He came, just like he said. Oh, the devil did all he could to stop it. But the devil's trying so hard to get us to have a mindset where there is no Christ. 1 John 4, verse 3, we see where it comes from. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Now, you know, you can waffle all you want. You can hedge on that all you want. My Bible is very, very, very clear that every spirit, don't care what the spirit is. Don't care how it looks. Don't care what it's dressed up as. Don't care what the name on the church is or the religion is or whatever it is. My Bible says every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, it's not of God. Not of God. Well, if it's not of God, who's it of? It's of the devil. Yeah. Well, you know, I go to church, but I you know, this thing about, you know, Jesus coming and dying on, I don't know about that. You're not of God. That's not of God. You know, I know some people, they're religious, they have a church and everything, but you know, they're Mormon. That's not of God. And notice what it says. This is that spirit of what? Antichrist. Yeah, that's what's coming, folks. Whereof ye have heard that it should come. Watch what he said. And even now already is it in the world. The spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. You know, well, you know, everything looks glittery and beautiful and everything else. And the whole thing. Listen to me. Jesus Christ came in the flesh and lived a perfect life and was tempted in all points such as we are, yet without sin. And he lived that perfect life so that he could be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. To die on a cross, and had he sinned one time, then we would all be lost because he could not be the sacrifice for our sins. And so, it only makes sense that Christmas would become Xmas. It only makes sense that many, many years ago, somebody maybe just real cute, they said, you know what? It'd be a lot easier instead of writing out Christ just to put X. It'd be a lot easier, and you know what? Amazes me how many Christians have fallen for it. I know, it's okay if it gets quiet. It won't wind me up too much. You know, Herod couldn't stop Jesus from coming. He tried. Oh, he tried. And so, since he couldn't be stopped from coming, we'll just X him out. And I don't know if Jesus was born on December 25th. I doubt that it was December 25th. Some say it was in the spring. I've heard all kinds of different dates. Why in the world is that backwards? Anyway, I've heard all kinds of different ideas and different things, and I don't know if it, you know, well, preacher, we got to get the right date. You don't know the date. I just know he came. And I celebrate. We don't worship trees, but we decorate because we're celebrating, amen? And we decorate, and we get lights, and we do all that kind of stuff because it is a celebration because the King came. And a little baby came to a manger as a Lamb of God, and he came to the perfect place at the perfect time to do the perfect work so that you and I, who are imperfect, could be saved perfectly. And folks, the devil he's just got him X'd out. Our public schools now, they can't sing Joy to the World, the Lord has come. They can't sing about Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, they can sing about Frosty the Snowman. They can sing about up on the housetop, click, click, click. Try to get a reindeer up on your housetop sometime. You try to do it. And try to get a big old fat guy down your chimney sometime too. But I'll tell you what, God could get his son here on this earth in Bethlehem just like he said he would. He did. But isn't it amazing how at Christmas time most people don't have a clue? You know why? Because the devil's scheme has worked, because he's been X'd out. Jesus has been X'd out of his own birthday. You go around, seriously, if you went around average people and ask them what Christmas is all about, you'll hear everything but Jesus Christ's birth. How sad. By the way, isn't it interesting how today, in our day, we can talk about any other religion. We can talk about religion, but you can't talk about Jesus. Jesus Christ. You can, Muhammad? Oh, by the way, don't draw a cartoon of him. Yeah, you'll get shot at, and the government will protect you. Hello? Somebody, come on. Somebody join in tonight. It's a Baptist church last time I looked. I mean, honestly, you can talk about any other religion and be religious, and it's okay to be religious, but you can't say the name Jesus. And especially not at Christmas. We can celebrate Kwanzaa. We can celebrate all kinds of other holidays. But don't. We don't. Your graduation speech. Talk about the presence above. Talk about Mother Nature. Who in the world is that? You can talk about all these other things, but do not in your graduation speech, because there is separation of church and state. You idiots don't even know what that means. You can talk about all other names. Buddha, that's fine. He's just a little chubby. Don't. Do not mention Jesus Christ. And that's how this country was built. That's how all that is here, that's how it all happened, because God blessed America. Because Americans were worshiping Jesus Christ. Why? Because we gave him preeminence. And today he's been X'd out. And so the devil has tried and has succeeded with so many to X out his coming. And his coming the first time, but now he'd like to X out his coming the second time. 2 Peter 3, verse 3. Look at it. 2 Peter 3 and verse 3. Second Peter 3 and verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? I can hear him. You hear him all the time? Where is the promise of his coming? Where is this Jesus? I thought he was coming. They said he was coming in the 70s. They shouldn't have said that. He said, we don't know when. Nobody should ever say when he's coming. Well, they said he was coming in 1978. And then 79. And then 80. And pardon me, folks, that guy was an idiot. But it was going to be 2012. No, it was going to be Y2K. That was going to be it. And if somebody stood behind a pulpit and said, Jesus is coming now, I see it, he also is a false prophet. And the guy that predicted in 2012, these people are all false prophets. They might have been nice people as far as the world's concerned, but for us, we shouldn't even have paid attention. And we didn't. Well, some didn't. Anyway, and if you have that book, just throw it away. But The Bible says, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of. Well, what is it to be willingly ignorant? It means, I don't know, I see nothing. Schultz, remember him? I see nothing. Anyway, good Bible programming of the old days. And, just willingly, I don't know. You know, he said, I'm not telling you when I'm coming. Nobody knows when I'm coming. He said, that way you'll be ready at any time. Amen. And so the false predictors and the people attacking that, oh, he's not going to come. But you and I, you know, honestly, there's not a thing to panic about. But there is something to just simply say, you know, I'm watching my Bible, and the more I see Christ X'd out, the more I see the work of a future Antichrist who is anti-Christ. That means he's an X'er outer of Christ. And I see it happening, and I'm going to fight it. I'm going to keep preaching Jesus, and we're going to keep singing, give me Jesus, like we just sang. But I'm going to tell you, folks, most of the people just kind of look at you like, huh? You believe what? Wow, there was a day when you'd go soul winning and, you know, you just knock on somebody's and most, yeah, you know, I go to church and I know about the Lord and I've just gotten away from God. And now people just look at, why do you go to church? And our neighbors just scratch their head like, what in the world are you? People are always at church. What is your problem? They don't understand that it's life. It's life. When you got saved, did you get life or not? Some live like they got death. Honestly, did you get life? He said, I've come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. He has an abundant life for Christians because of Jesus. Amen. And Satan's come to X out his coming. Number two, to X out his cross. Philippians 3, verse 18. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 18. The Bible says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things, and these are enemies of his cross, and Satan is behind it to X out his cross. So many lies, so many liars. They came on the scene in Christian radio and magazine denying that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. Oh, it was the death of Jesus on the cross that paid the price. It was not his death on the cross. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. Do not deny the blood of Jesus. And they say, oh, but that offends us. Oh, but if you preach about the blood, it'll offend people. And so, one by one, they just quit preaching on the blood. And they took the blood out of their songbooks. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. And they don't want that. It's offensive, his blood. Oh, that is so offensive. That's because our sin is offensive. Yeah, and X out his cross. Denying the blood, denying that he died. You know, guards, tell everybody the disciples stole his body. It's been a lie from the beginning. They've lied and lied. He didn't die. He did die. He swooned. He didn't, we scholars believe that he really didn't die on the cross. I wish we could put you up there, see how you do. Amen. Let's whip you with a cat of nine tails 39 times and peel your skin back as they did Jesus and pull your beard out of your face and punch you with rods and nail you to a cross and just see if you die or not. But we have theologians today. Theologians, we know our Bible, but you don't know the author. You might want to get to know the author and you'll know that Jesus died on that old rugged cross. And boy, we've got him being X'd out, X'ing out the cross, X'ing out the resurrection, trying to cover up our gruesome, nasty, wicked, ugly sin. That's what it's all about today. Hey, Christianity is a party. Everybody just have fun. We don't want to talk about that blood, do we? We don't want to talk about that cross, do we? No, that's offensive to people. We just need to have fun. Get our praise team up here and let's all just wave our hands and get down with Jesus. And that's what most people are buying. I'm talking about folks that used to sit here. That's what, they're not, I started to say that's what they're doing tonight. They're not in church tonight. No, TV shows are on Sunday night. We can't have church. We don't need to have to know. Where does it say in the Bible you have to have church? We could have church every night. And it really wouldn't be enough for us. And by the way, if things get bad in the U.S. like they have in other countries, and I believe they might. Are you listening to me? You'll wish you could have church every night. Bless your little pea-picking heart. I'm telling you that there are Christians in other parts of the world that are suffering tonight. They're suffering for the cause of Jesus Christ. They're standing for Jesus. They're claiming the name of Jesus, and they're paying a price. And they'd love to be able to get together and sing with other Christians. That's why he said we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So much the more as the day approaches. That's what he's talking about. And Satan wants to X out the cross. And again, most religions today, that's offensive to them. Don't talk about that. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Well, we don't want to sing that. That's old fashioned. We'd rather sing Drop Kick Me Jesus through the goalpost of life. Oh, listen, folks, those old classic songs. Thank God. Thank God. We're not changing. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Don't X out the cross of Jesus Christ. And the Lord's Supper will not X it out. Notice in verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame. And watch this, who mind earthly things. I'll tell you what will take you away from the cross of Christ is all the earthly junk. All the earthly junk and the cross will eventually have less and less appeal to us. We've X'd it out. That's why there's so many worldly churches, no altar call. What's the altar all about? It's sacrifice. It's what you do at an altar. You lay it down. That's what the altar call is all about. Churches all across the world are we don't have time for the altar call. Are y'all listening to me? You ought to thank God when you walk out those doors, this church still has an altar call. Amen. You ought to thank God every time we get together, every service we have, anything we do. Good night, we just eat, we have an altar call. We need to have altar calls after we eat. In fact, we should have had one after we ate breakfast yesterday. But look, I'm really just preaching. But, they X out his coming, X out his cross. Number three, X out his commands. It all started in the Garden of Eden when Satan, as the serpent, said, "Yea, hath God said?" That's the attack on the Bible is relentless. You know, I'm so glad I have the Word of God. Amen. I'm so glad I don't have to worry about it. I've got it. The old King James Bible works. It always has worked. You know, we have people that, I just can't understand it. Get to know him. He wrote it. He'll help you. He always has. He always helps me. There's a lot of things I don't understand. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't understand all of it. I get reading par by the causeway westward, and I don't know what that means. You say, what is that? Well, look it up. It's in your Bible. Don't look it up right now. What's that all about? I don't know. But he knows. And he's the author. And when he wants me to know, he'll show me. I don't know how many times I read through a passage and one day I didn't understand it, but I talk to him and pray and ask him, and then I understand it. And then another time I understand it for another application. It's a word of God. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Boy, he's X'd out his commands. The attack on the Bible, the attack on Bible reading. You know, we all still have Bibles. I've got who knows how many Bibles I have back in my office. I have every Bible I've ever preached from. I've got Bibles that were given to me by other preachers. I've got I don't know how many Bibles you have lots of Bibles. I know. If you need one, we'll give you one. We have lots and lots of Bibles. You know, we get all bent out of shape. Well, they're attacking our Bible, but nobody can take away your Bible reading. And I got news for you. Nobody can take away your Bible memory either. The only thing to take that away is old age. That's it. I'm telling you, seriously, memorize the Word of God. You say, they're going to take our Bible someday. Well, what are you going to do about it? You going to live your life on Jesus wept? I got one verse. You might want to work on a few more. Amen. Xing out his commands. Real quick, 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Preach the word. You know, we don't even believe that anymore. It's like, preacher, I want you to do what the Bible says. And then he gets up and preaches, and they say, could you back off just a little bit? You know, calm down a little bit. You know that. And I had somebody a year and a half ago, something happened, and somebody told me, they said, you know what? You use too much scripture. I just looked at him and said, what would you like me to use? Dr. Seuss? You use too much scripture. How can you use too much scripture? I don't know. Look what it says. Verse 2. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, reprove. How are you going to do that sitting on a chair rapping with the people? Brother Hollins, what do you think that verse means? Brittany, what do you think that verse means? Brother Wilbur, could you explain what that means in your NIV? You know, I don't know how people put up with junk like that. You know, where is reprove, rebuke? Exhort, all of that. Sounds to me like, I mean, if you're going to reprove, you should be making a face like, sometime. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, every now and then, if you're going to rebuke. Think about you rebuking your children. Now, Poindexter, you've been a bad little boy. Don't ever do it again. Daddy loves you. Really? I'd love to be in your home and watch that take place and just see what happens. I got a feeling you'll get a rock thrown at you. Rebuke. Yeah, that's a good word, rebuke. Rebuke is when you... Well, we won't get into that. That is not in the original language. Exhort. What is exhort? Cheer them on! Come on. Seriously, exhort. Can you imagine? You are watching your Red Sox lose. And you're cheering them on. Go. Please go. Pretty please go. Yay. Right? How are you? But, you know, come on, folks. Is there not some urgency in that? Amen. I'm having a good time. I don't know about you. Because here's what he says. He says, exhort with all long-suffering. Boy, we need that long-suffering. What is that? It's patience with people. No, there's no perfect people here. Folks, we've got to be patient with each other. Long-suffering. What's that mean? That means while I'm preaching the word, I understand there's going to be some that are going to go, right? That is a drone. They are spying on us right now. Todd, do you have your butterfly net? We have a security team here. You're not part... I'm sorry, ma'am, you are not licensed to be in the security team. That could be a government drone. Does this go on the internet? Anyway, look what it says. I'm so close to being done, I just don't want to go. But the Bible says, here's why we do this. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. What did he say? He said, preach the word! Why? Because the time is going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want it. It says, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And so he said, here's what you do when those days come. Just rear back and preach the word. That's what he said. Otherwise, his commands are just going to get X'd out, phased out, removed, gone, over with, done. And we are of all men most miserable. Last thing. Number one, I said X out is coming, X out his cross, X out his commands. Number four is X out his cause. That's what it's all about. What's his cause? I am come that they might have life. And not just life, that they might have it more abundantly. I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. His cause. Oh, you know, we better be careful, folks. We start battling all this. You're not going to stop the Antichrist. I'm just going to lift up Christ.
Amen.
Amen. I don't have time to try to find who the Antichrist is. We got people trying to figure out who that is. You're a nut. Amen. I mean, seriously, do you really, really think you're going to figure? They had, the names were given years and years ago. I remember I can still see some of the different deep studies. Well, we've analyzed the name and all the numbers of the name, and we've come up with this name, and there he is. He is no doubt this person right here. And could you imagine being that person? Can you imagine? Seriously? Nowadays, could you imagine the lawsuit that would take place if you named, this is no doubt the end. Anyway, 2 Corinthians 4:4. I'm just about, really, really, we're almost done because it's real hot up here. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. And here's what's happened right here. Xing out his cause. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. In whom? The God of this world, little g God, notice that. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see it? You see it? He's blinded the minds of them which believe not. Because he doesn't want them to see the glorious, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. And boy, it's tough. I'm going to tell you the biggest X on Xing out his cause has not been, I don't think it's been what Satan has done to our world through the teaching of evolution and humanism and all those kind of things. You know what I think the biggest X on the cause of Christ has been? It's been lazy us. That's the biggest X. We're not telling anyone. I talked about it in Sunday school today. The Holy Spirit, he does the convicting. What do we got to do? We just go out and tell them. Amen. You say, why are you whispering, preacher? Well, I about preached out my voice. Huh? But it's still there. Recap. Here's what happens. First of all, he starts Xing out our individual lives. He Xs Christ out of our life. You know, do you pray? Do you spend time with God? Do you walk with God every day in your Bible on your knees? Do you have a relationship with Christ? He'll X Christ out of our lives. Secondly, then, he'll once that starts happening, he X's Christ out of our homes. Oh, we're in so much trouble in our homes. If Christ is not the center of your home, you're in trouble. I'm telling you, you're in trouble. Husband and wife, you're in trouble. Oh, we're in love. I'm telling you, if Christ is not in the center of your home, you're in trouble. Your kids are in trouble. You better go home, set up a family altar. I remember we started our church in Bern, Indiana, and God was blessing. We had a couple, we had a man and his son get saved on our first service on a Sunday night, and they walked the aisle and they got saved. And that fella and his wife, they'd never really gone to church much, and he got saved. And he said, you know, you said something about a family altar. He said, what do I need to build it? I said, what are you talking about? He said, I need plans. I said, what do you mean? He said, I need a diagram because I want to build a family altar in my house. And big old tears came to my eyes as a fellow said, I want to have a family altar in my house. I said, sir, I said, you just take your Bible and you read your Bible to your family every night. And as they get older, as the kids get older, you let them read and you read and you spend a little time. You don't get on a soapbox and preach to them about everything they did wrong, especially, fellas, your wife. That ruins the whole evening. But plus, it takes a lot of time. But I said, you just have to spend a little time talking and listening to Jesus as a family. Oh, the devil's, he's done it. And he didn't do it through the laws of our land. He did it through the laziness of our people. And the dumb television set. I thought we'd end positive. And so, you know, he's X Christ out of our lives, and then he X's Christ out of our homes, and then we X Christ out of our schools. 35 hours a day I'm sorry, a day. That's good, 24-hour day. That's, I often think if I had 35 hours, I'd still be busy. But 35 hours a week. 35 hours. Well, you know, it's mostly reading, writing. Are you serious? You haven't checked out what's going on in school, have you? Oh, they're teaching them all kinds of things. But I can tell you the one thing they're not teaching them, and that's about Jesus. I sat in a public school, elementary school, Evans Elementary in Marion, Indiana, in first grade, and we all, before school started, every morning we went up in the bleachers in the gym, and we all loaded up in the bleachers in the gymnasium, and they had a microphone there, and somebody taught a Bible verse every morning, 1965. We have Christian schools that don't teach the Bible today. Xing Christ out of our lives, Xing Christ out of our homes, Xing Christ out of our schools, and then Xing Christ out of our society. You're oddballs. We are. Society, they think we're nuts. Xing Christ out of our nation. It's close, folks. Xing Christ out of the world. Well, what'll happen then? Then the Antichrist will be on his throne. I close with Acts 15, verse 25. Acts chapter 15 and verse 25 and 26. I love it. The Bible says, "It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul." Look what it says about them. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, last week a fellow walked into a church and sat down with their little Bible study. And about a 45-minute period, something like that, sat with those people and they talked about the Bible and had a little Bible study time. And then that fellow took out a gun and killed him. I don't know if, you know, they're making a big part about he was a racist and all that. But I'll tell you one thing. He was an antichrist. Now, I understand the religion part. The Christ part is going to be left out of it. I believe those people were godly people that loved God. And they loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And whether that guy was a racist, I don't know if he was or not. But I can tell you this, the day is coming. And we're talking about it. We meet. We have men, we meet. We talk about this regular. The day's coming when that's going to be what we will have to deal with. You know, many, many have hazarded their lives. People in other world, other countries, they've risked their lives. Many have given their life for the cause of Christ. Many will. But I can tell you this, none will who are just playing church. None will if you're just playing games. If Christ has been X'd out of your life, you ought to get on an altar tonight and say, "God, forgive me. Forgive me. I want you to be preeminent in my life." Let's bow our heads, please.